are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, family, we are connecting with Pastor Guizo, who's going to be speaking to us about Chapter 5 of The Great Hope, entitled False Hope. So we're talking about, you know, the comfort of lies and popularity of certain concepts that are not necessarily Bible-based, all of that. So please make sure that you engage with us as well. 2773-470-3520. Pastor Guizo, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Doing very well, Pastor. How are you doing today?
We are doing great by God's grace.
Amen. Amen. Happy to hear that. All right. So, Pastor, we're talking about lies. We're talking about deceptions and false hope and the comfort of lies. You know, many people embrace spiritual falsehoods, not necessarily because they're trying to be rebellious, but, you know, there's pain, there's grief. And sometimes when you, for example, believe that your loved one is watching over you, it feels comforting. It feels better than thinking of them in a cold, dark grave by themselves, right? But that opens the door to deception and spiritual danger. Can you speak to us a little bit about that, the comfort that we find sometimes in lies?
Thank you so much. You know, let me just begin by something that would, this is a critical and very important discussion to have.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, you know, just on a lighter moment, you know, generally speaking, we love people to tell us what we want to hear.
Yep. Very true.
You know, you put on something and ask people, how do I look?
Yeah.
You want them to say, fantastic.
Yes.
We cook something, people taste it before they even go, verify, say, how is it?
Mm.
It's great.
Yes.
We love to hear your nice things. And then, unfortunately, that goes into the realm of religion.
Mm.
It goes into the realm of belief. It goes into the realm of connection with the divine God. And especially, as you rightly observe, when crisis hits us in life, we love to be comforted. It soothes to hear sweet things, to hear sweet nothings, although it may not be true.
Yeah.
You know, just to pick on the example that you've given here, to say somebody passes away, there is disconnection. I mean, the Bible says their love, their hate, their connection with us is gone.
Mm.
There is no more relationship. That feels very, very painful. And so to say, no, they are watching you.
Mm.
You hear how it sounds? No. Actually, they're not really gone.
Mm.
You can't see them, but they're actually with you.
Yeah.
It's trying to be like some kind of a response to fill in the gap that there's no disconnect.
Mm.
You are still there. And that makes us feel good.
Yeah.
So I'm just observing to say, generally, we love to hear things that sound good, that are positive, that are sweet, even though it may not be true.
Mm.
And this is exactly what happens.
Yes. I was thinking about Lazarus. I remember hearing a preacher talking about Lazarus and after Lazarus was resurrected. And you're saying, can you imagine if Lazarus had died and gone to heaven and then he's resurrected and brought back to earth? He'd have been so upset. He'd have been so angry. Like, why did you bring me back here? I was already in heaven. I was ready for my eternal life now with God. And now you brought me back to this earth again. And when he said that, I just started to think about what heaven would really be like if all our loved ones were up there who have died. It would be a miserable place because they'd be up there tense and worried about us. They'd be watching us making mistakes. They'd be watching us getting sick, getting into difficult relationships, struggling in life. And they would be so sad in heaven. Heaven would be full of sadness with all our loved ones looking down on us like, hey, shame, look at my child. Look at my grandchild. Look what they're going through. And heaven would then lose that thing that it's supposed to be a happy place. So it doesn't even make sense that God would punish our loved ones by making them go up to heaven and watch us as we live this life going through struggles and pain, and they can't even help us.
Mm, you know, actually, it wouldn't be heaven. It wouldn't be heaven.
Yeah.
It would be characterized by what you've just explained. That would not be heaven at all.
Mm.
Now, no, there's a text here. Do you mind if I read this text?
Please.
1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed or attention to lying spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what one vision says. Another one says here, but the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in later times, some will turn away from the truth, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines of demons to teach. This is very heavy, you know, language. But what is key, it might really sound quite, you know, heavy, you know, but what it's saying is the presence of lies around us as a way of coping with pain, distress, death has already been spoken of by God himself. Hey. It actually says the Holy Spirit. So God is saying there will be a time, I want to warn you, that there will be lies. So when we say this belief that people are holding on to, it's a lie. It is congruent in the Greek scripture, which says there shall be lies. And that compels us, I think, my sister, that each one of us is called upon to know exactly what does the Bible say about a specific topic. What does the Bible say? Because there will be lies. The Bible has already, you know, made it very clear. And this is a very good example which are picking on. Do people die when they really die? Oh, in Genesis, the serpent said, no, you will not die. God says, you will die. And the devil says, you will not die. Yeah. So he has maintained that lie for centuries. And so we could say this even as we discussed this morning, that the devil, the enemy of God, the enemy of God has maintained this lie in a different way.
Yes.
You know, people don't really die. He has maintained that. But the quick question is then, so what do we see? Who talks to us when things talk to us?
Yeah, because some people will tell you that, no, I saw my grandfather in a dream. He came, he spoke to me, he addressed an issue that I'm currently facing, and he gave me the advice, and I followed it, and things worked out. So people, they've seen things for themselves. Like, we can't say that they're all telling lies. So surely there must be something that they're seeing, and especially when it comes to, like you're saying, that the devil has found ways to communicate these lies to all of us. Now, for us here in Africa, it's now an African spirituality thing where they're trying to hold hands together with Christianity, that, you know, you can be Christian and also still pray to your ancestors. And if you don't do that, then you're rejecting your Africanness, you're rejecting your culture and your identity. So he still finds ways to do this. So who is it then, Pastor? Who is speaking to people? Who are these figures appearing to them in their dreams and in these visions?
And I also want us to underscore that we are not saying we don't have a history.
Of course.
As people, we have a history. We have got ancestors. What does that mean? It means we have people who have lived before us.
Yes.
So we have genealogies, you know, all of us. You might be a Makumalo, Masuanda, you might be who, you know. We have ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
But to worship some spirits who are declared as ancestors, that the Bible has a problem with that. It doesn't seem to have biblical basis, you know, or foundation. So I want our hearers to understand that we have genealogies, we have people who have lived ahead of us, before us, yes. And what does the Bible say about them? Here is, listen to this one, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5. Here, listen to what it says. For the living, for what?
The living.
The living know that they will die.
Mm-hmm.
But the dead know nothing. They know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I like it in Hebrew. I'm not burden, you know, our audience here. Mm-hmm. I was about to explain that. The statement says the living know. They have knowledge, they have an intellect, they interact, and that knowledge means they have a physical body and they have breath of life. They know, they have an intellect. And then it is followed by a Hebrew word, which is a negation. That word translated but in Hebrew, it means the opposite is what is following here is completely the opposite. It then says, but the dead know nothing. Mm. They don't have intellect. They don't have a share. Mm. It goes on to say they have no further reward, or even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again would they ever have a part in anything that happens under the sea. So God is saying here, the dead know nothing, and the living have knowledge. So this is one lie that the people have believed over centuries, and people across cultures, you know, you go to Europe, you go, it's not just Africa, by the way.
Yeah. Looks like we have lost our pastor there. Let's see if we can connect with him once again. He is speaking to us about the state of the dead currently. We're just talking about certain deceptions and false hope and the fact that sometimes the lies actually give us comfort, right? And so we're just trying to reconnect with the pastor. Not sure what happened, and we lost our connection. So let me know what else you can think of. We are focusing, we seem to be focusing more on the state of the dead in this conversation, but there's so many other ways that we find hope and we find comfort in lies, really, in things that are not based on scripture, in things that the Bible never said, things that God never promised us, God never said. And so what are some of those things? Looks like we're now having a problem connecting with the pastor. Let's see. Hopefully it goes through this time. Pastor, do we have you back?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We just got disconnected there. You are still speaking to us about how the dead know nothing.
Exactly. I was just excitedly saying here, the deception that the dead know something is a universal deception. Mm. You go to Europe, you go to the worst. I lived in Asia for 6 years. It's a universal lie. Mm. People of all kinds under the sun, they are taught to believe that the dead know something. But the Bible here says the dead know absolutely nothing. Mm. So, that is consistent with what Genesis says. You eat this, you will die. And when you die, you have no knowledge, and it is maintained when you come to Isaiah, you know, many years down the line, centuries of years down the line, God still echoes the same truth. The dead know nothing. Mm. And we should believe that. John 8:44 says, Jesus says here, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and no holding to truth, for there is no truth in him. Mm. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Hey. What you are trying to do here is this morning is this. The deception that the dead know something. Who is the origin of this thing?
The father of lies.
The father of lies. And who is the father of lies? The father of lies is the devil, the adversary of God, the arch rebel, the arch enemy of God. So it's critical for us this morning to know that the source of these lies, it's not some self-appointed prophet that we see today. It's not some self-appointed apostle that we see today. It's not some spirit medium that we may interact with today. It's not some spiritists that we see today. The father of lies who works through people is the devil himself.
Sure. And then let's also talk about the subtlety of the devil's lies, because even when you look at the garden, Satan doesn't really outright deny God's word. He twists it even to this day. He still twists it when he's tempting Jesus in the wilderness. He's using scripture, but he's twisting it in some way. So he still uses that. So false hope, sometimes it can sound spiritual, right? It can also sound noble. It can sound biblical even.
You know, I like what the last statement you said. You said it can sound biblical, you know. I like that, you know. I think that is very critical there. You know, the devil is smart. He is not dull. You know, I think this is something people need to know. He's smart. Actually, the word lie, if you unpack it in Hebrew, the nuances that it carries, it also means deception. Mm-hmm. He is a deceiver. To deceive, ma'am, is to come to you and then I say, can I have 100 bucks? You give me $100 and then I give you back $100 on Wednesday. I come on Thursday and I say, can I have $3,000? And you give me $3,000. I bring it on Sunday. On Sunday, I bring it back on Sunday. Then I say, can I have $10,000? And then I go forever and...
Yes, yes.
That is what? Deception. You mingle, you behave like you are honest. And yet, you are not. Exactly, yeah. The devil does the same. He takes some element of truth and mingles it with 1% of lies. So that it is acceptable. It is something that you can say, well, at least much of it is right. Nice. The devil loves to do that. At least, you know, here is somebody who, let me talk about the male species. Here is a man, he beats up his wife, he's physically violent, and he's just abusive, let's say. And then he's confronted and says, well, but at least I bought my wife a BMW. Mm. You know, at least I took her to Dubai, you know, for holiday. At least I took them to Cape Town, you know. Something like that. Does that make the beating, the physical violence and abuse, right?
No.
And this is exactly what the devil does when it comes to doctrinal matters. He mixes some truth and error. And of course, we know then it all becomes what? Error. Listen to this one. Can I read this text here? 2 Corinthians 11:14. Mm-hmm. It says something very exciting. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. So the Bible is acknowledging that there are preachers out there. It's acknowledging that there is there are zillion pastors, preachers, prophets, apostles out there. But not all of them are propagating the truth. Not all of them are speaking, thus says the Lord. No. Listen to Isaiah. I love Isaiah here in connection with Corinthians. To the law. And when Isaiah is saying to the Lord, he's referring to the Torah. It was referred to in the time of Isaiah as the Lord. Mm-hmm. The Torah, in other words, the first books of Moses, mm-hmm. and to the testimony. And is referring now to the rest of the Old Testament, you know, the prophets, the writings. Mm-hmm. And he says, if they speak not according to these, it is because there is no light in them.
Hey.
What this means is people may stand up front and quote some verses, and people may stand up front in the name of Jesus. People may even perform miracles. What God is saying here, what the Bible is saying here, they may be mingling truth and error. A mere mention of Jesus does not necessarily mean a person believes in Jesus. A mere mention of professing that I'm Christian does not make one Christian unless they live and exude a lifestyle that is congruent with Christianity. Mm. So the devil loves to mingle truth and error, and we need to be alert. Now, what's the antidote to that?
Yeah.
We need to know what the Bible really teaches on every subject. Mm. What does the Bible really say about marriage? What does the Bible say about state of the dead? What does the Bible say about which day should we go and should we keep as holy? What does the Bible say about where is Jesus now? We need to know exactly what the Bible says so that we may not be deceived.
Powerful. We're going to be continuing with this chapter on Thursday, Pastor, but for today, any final thoughts, any key points for today's section before we close?
My final remark would be, you know, behold what manner of love the God of heaven has lavishly bestowed upon us, that we must have exposure to the truth, that we have the privilege of listening to a program such as this one, Adventist World Radio. What a privilege that we have. We have access to the Bible. We are no longer in the period that was referred to as the Dark Ages, when it was, the Bible was scarce. We have the privilege to study Study the Bible for yourself. Read and understand exactly what does God's word say on a particular topic. And in relation to the topic that we talked about, we must know that, okay, fine, the dead know nothing. The Bible also says, for Jesus will come and the dead in Christ will rise. Again, they'll meet the Lord in the air. And I think, my sister, it's good for us to leave people with hope here that, yes, we might die, our loved ones died, but Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
In Thessalonians, it says, Thessalonians 4, he says, for he is coming with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. So what are we saying here? Live with hope. Live with hope. And this is the message of Adventist World Radio. Live with hope. We may die, but Jesus says, you will rise again. So it's critical, if we should die, to die in the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. Powerful. Thank you so much, Pastor Kwizo, for coming through. God bless you. I look forward to chatting again soon.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.